DBA On Demand.
DBA On Demand.
A broadcast service of the Daniel Baptist Association.
Hello, everyone. This is Chester Proctor. Recently, I had an opportunity to sit down with Dr. Tim Searcy, Vice President of Academics at Bruton Parker College. In the interview, we discussed the probation put upon the college by the Southern Association of Colleges and Schools, as well as the education opportunities for bivocational ministers in the area, and concluded with what we, the churches, can do for Bruton Parker College as the college works for us. The following in its entirety is the interview with Dr. Tim Searcy, Vice President of Academics, formerly known as Provost, at Bruton Parker College.
DBA On Demand.
So tell us, just for those who, you know, those who either don't keep up or haven't been able to for whatever reason, they may not know other than what they hear on the radio. And the last thing we heard locally on the radio was Sachs had put you on probation. And we heard from Dr. Simoneaux not long ago that probation, though in existence, I think it was 91 of the 83 of the 91 benchmarks or whatever they're called, had been met. So let's first start by clarifying, Bruton Parker's working through a process of correcting and healing and building, and it's not over yet. And let's take a moment and just talk about that.
Yes. Every 10 years, you go through with the regional accrediting agency, Southern Association of Colleges and Schools, a reaffirmation process. So you look at everything from top to bottom at the school in comparison to the standards of the Sachs Association, Accrediting Association. And if they discover things that need to be fixed, then they give you recommendations and various levels of sanctions to say you need to get this fixed, then you have a period of time to do that and work with them. There are two major sections of the accreditation standards. One of them is core requirements and the other is comprehensive standards. Core requirements begin with the number 2 for those that are familiar with Southern Association. If you have work to do on anything in relationship to core requirements, then usually they will do what they call a public sanction, warning or probation. And then you have 2 years to work on that to get that clear. During that time, you're fully accredited when you see any of the publication on this on the Sachs website or out in the media. You'll see that the first sentence says that Bruton Parker College is fully accredited by Southern Association of Colleges and Schools. So no student or should be worried about their degree or anything like that. It's just part of this 10-year review process. Now, I want to say that public sanction is serious. When you are found deficient in any core requirement, that's a serious issue, and we take it seriously. However, we've been working on that before I got here, obviously, and one of the reasons I'm here is I have a long history of working with accrediting agencies and serving on all off-site and on-site teams for Southern Association, and then while at the seminary with the Association of Theological Schools as well. And so I come in with that background to help the school to accomplish what it needs to in order to receive its reaffirmation. They have been working diligently before I got here, and all the letters that I've read from the Commission on Colleges, that's the leadership team of Southern Association, seem to be saying you're moving in the right direction, you're doing the right thing, but some changes like strategic planning, it takes a little while before you can document that you're into it, that you're accomplishing it, that you can show results of the strategic planning and things like that. So, and some of the financial issues took a little work to get to where they want us to be, so we're on good, firm financial basis. And so these things are understandable. They only make us better. We're taking it seriously. And I believe my estimation right now, still being a little objective coming in, is that we're doing the right things. And when we send in our next report, which would be at the end of March of 2013, and have another visiting team come and observe what we've done, which would be in about April of 2013, I believe as a result of that, that team will recommend our reaffirmation. That would be my belief in just looking at things. Of course, we have to do our work between now and then. If we continue to do what we're doing now, which we very much intend to do, that we will accomplish that. And it's good for people to understand also that this process is not a federal government process. This Southern Association of Colleges and Schools are sister institutions throughout the Southeast, including University of Florida and University of Georgia and all the private institutions in our region of the United States. We join together to do this. The teams that come are made up of sister schools like us. So, you know, it's not an ominous type thing. It's we're trying to help each other get better at what we do.
I think in the last few years, there's been a lot of negative stigma attached to the SACS accreditation or to the probation process. And so because of the Montgomery County school system and mm-hmm. what they've gone through. And so when someone right across the street at an upper level, all of a sudden they hear that there's probation, people tend to panic. You mentioned this definitely a minute ago, but it's important, I think, to reiterate to the listeners that that it is a process that makes you better. It's a good thing to have. Maybe not, I mean, nobody goes in wanting probation, but if it's there, great, because now you know what you need to fix to make yourselves better, to continue to raise the bar. And where, and you correct me if I'm wrong, but where Bruton Parker is coming from and the hole that it had dug itself, and we'll just talk in general terms, but the hole that it had dug itself years ago, that was a deep hole, and that's going to take some work to get out of. And so people ought not hear these things of words like probation and panic, because the truth is you're getting closer to the surface here, but you still have some climbing to do.
Yes, that's absolutely true. It's unfortunate that sometimes people look at accreditation as an adversarial thing. It's not. It's a help. It's identifying weaknesses and things that need to be fixed. And I wasn't here, but I think from what I've heard that everybody knew there were problems. And so this just identifies those problems in a way where it's related to standards. So you know what to do to fix it. You're not just wondering, what should we do? You know exactly what you have to do. And I think that's beneficial. It is serious. If an institution just totally ignored it, then they would lose their accreditation. And of course, losing your accreditation is going to lose students and donors and on down the line. You could still run the institution, but it would not be a quality higher education institution, and nobody wants that. So we're going to take it seriously and do what is necessary and listen to what they say. And for the most part, if you are responding the way you should and doing what you should be doing and keeping it with integrity, not trying to hide anything, but just simply doing what is right, you'll at the end of the day, you'll end up okay. Bruton Parker, I think, is doing an excellent job of finding team members, excluding myself, of course, but finding good leaders such as Dr. Bass, who's come in to lead student services. He's done that role at Dallas Baptist University and at North Greenville University, mm-hmm. two strong schools, and so he knows what he's doing. You know, that's the type of thing you need to do. Get people in who know what they're doing to lead, and Dr. Semino, of course, a very strong example of that. People who've done it, who've been there, who know what they're doing, but also people who have the mission of the institution in mind, knowing that this is a Baptist college, a Christian college, and a Christian worldview, and we're going to approach it that way. But at the same time, they have the expertise it needs to get the job done.
Well, I'm going to apologize preemptively because I told you I wouldn't put you on the spot, and I don't think this will, but I've heard, and I would, if you can confirm this or deny mm-hmm. this, I've heard that teachers and staff, your faculty and staff, they go through a somewhat, compared to maybe secular schools, a rigorous application process in which they have to profess a faith in Christ as Lord and Savior. Is that mm-hmm. accurate statement of just part of the process?
The reason I ask is because
when they get into the classroom, are the students, and we're going to, why should students graduate mm-hmm. and come to Bruton Parker? Mm-hmm. Are they getting into an environment that, regardless maybe of the curriculum, you know, or regardless of the subject matter, mm-hmm. Christ may very well be invoked into that lesson.
Yeah. There's no doubt that Bruton Parker is a liberal arts institution. That just simply means we liberally give to them those things that make somebody to be an educated person. That's the background of liberal arts. But we're a private institution, we're a Baptist institution, we're what people would refer to as a confessional institution. And we're that way unapologetically. We're not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation, right?
Right.
And we believe what we believe. We expect science professors to believe that God created the universe. Mm-hmm. There's plenty of schools that have the opposite viewpoint. We're not going to apologize for being one that has a Christian viewpoint. That's who we are. That's what we expect. I don't know that I would call it rigorous application process. I think I would more look at it that when somebody comes to be interviewed for a job at Bruton Parker, and I'm talking to them, or Dr. Simoneau is talking to them, and oftentimes we do it together, that we just simply state, this is who we are.
Right.
This is what we expect. This is the institution you're applying to. Are you comfortable with that? What is your background? What is your, you know, do you know Christ as Savior? Mm-hmm. Are you willing to teach within the parameters of our confession, you know?
Sure.
And those type of things. There's plenty of playroom within that. I mean, you know, we just hired a biology professor who unapologetically says he believes that God created the universe,
right.
Which is a great thing. Mm-hmm. But he believes in this old earth theory. I'm more of this young earth theory, but we can live together on that,
right.
Of how God went about it.
Sure.
And then when we get to heaven, he'll find out I'm right.
But that's
okay.
Well, that's important because to clarify, because the communities around us, and I'm not sure how aware you guys in the upper level of the administration are, but the communities around us, you know, and we're talking in the Sunday school classes or maybe at somebody's house after church when the best conversations take place, usually about us, but the pastors. But no, these are the conversations that they're having. People are saying, you don't want to send your kid down to Bruton Parker because, you know, they're not teaching Christ. Or you'll go into that biology class and they're going to teach, you know, that in evolution and that we came from apes or whatever the basic argument is. And it's usually pretty basic. It's because they've heard these things. It's because maybe a bad one years ago got in the system or in the school and did do that, but it reflected the whole school. As you move towards making Bruton Parker even better than what it is now, it's important for folks to know that they can have a child, a Christian family, can send their son or daughter to Bruton Parker, and they will get a Christian education with a biblical worldview at the college level. And so that's why I ask that, because I think we need to kind of quash that rumor that goes around about just what you're getting in the classroom at Bruton Parker, because what you're getting is Christ and Christ crucified through the academia that you are involved in for your degree.
Yeah. And I can't with any authority speak to what may have happened in the past, although the old saying is where there's smoke, there's fire. Mm-hmm. And this could have happened in the past. I don't know. But what I know is as of now, that doesn't happen in the classroom. And if it did, you know, we would do something about it.
Right.
But it is our intent to be fully... there are two types of Christian institutions, basically, in the United States. Those that are umbrella institutions, such as Notre Dame. It's umbrella of the Catholic Church, but you couldn't tell much difference going there to any secular university. But then the other type would be systemically Christian. The school that intends from top to bottom, from the sports teams to the classroom, to everything you do, is under a biblical worldview and done by biblical principles. Now, I'm not trying to say we're perfect at it, but what is the intent? And that's what we intend to do. That's what we're working on doing. I think I can say for sure that our Christian Studies division faculty, I've had a lot of meetings with and talking with them. One of them, Jeff R. Dersh, I was his professor. So I know for sure that these are guys that are solid with the New Testament and Old Testament. They treat it as the inerrant word of God. They believe in exposition of the Bible and pulling from it exactly. The Bible speak for itself, not put yourself within the Bible, exegesis, right. Not eisegesis, right. For those that understand those terms. And we want an experience where not only is it okay to send your student to train to be a school teacher, but when they take the courses that they all have to take in the Old Testament and New Testament, that they are going to get solid biblical doctrine taught to them.
And you teach from an exegetically perspective versus even to those that are going to teach high school English.
Yes, even because they're going to have to take, it's a general course on Old Testament, general course on New Testament, but it is to have an understanding of how to take the scripture and understand it and know it for yourself. And we want to expand upon that and have more options for those that are training for ministry as well.
Well, I appreciate your time, and we'll wrap up. We've talked about why, basically, students should be confident, parents should be confident in the education that Bruton Parker has to offer. Let's talk about briefly why or what Bruton Parker, now with you specifically, and you addressed this in the executive meeting at the association, what your plans are to help some of these bivocational pastors that might be listening who never had the chance to go to school. But they got a church, and they know they need more, they want more, and through you, God is providing more. How are you going to propose to do that?
I've worked with this in the past, and it's been a long desire on my part to help these type of pastors. I mean, I've been one myself, a bivocational pastor. My father was always pastor of small membership congregations. I know their needs. I know what's out there. And so I've long tried to find means and ways to help them. And I've had some success with this at other institutions. And so I've been talking this up and gotten permission to work on this. As a matter of fact, we're going to try our best to have something in the spring to start this thing off. The key is this, to help the minister who has two full-time jobs, because that's what they end up having.
Right.
To help that minister get some training, to help these churches that are struggling to turn it around, to do something better. Well, what you have to do is, it has to be something, first of all, that's practical. By that meaning that if they come and do some training in this, they can turn around and use it the next day. Mm-hmm. And the process that I like to use and that we'll be trying to use at Bruton Parker is using problem-based learning. You take real-life problems and let that real-life problem be the springboard to learning about how to deal with that problem and what you should know, believe, and be able to do in relationship to that problem. Those problems should be around the real competencies that a pastor needs. Preaching, obviously, is one of them, but pastoral care is another, hospitals and things of that sort, counseling, how to do the ordinances of the church. How to organize the church, and how do you organize to do discipleship and evangelism and things of that sort? So that it's really how to around those competencies. Interpersonal relationship skills is also a good competency. Right. And servant leadership is also a good competency. Sure. And so, to house it around those things, then the delivery method is not having to be in class week in and week out. Mm-hmm. Come on a weekend, three times during a semester, for example, or a workshop week when people have a break or something along that line. We're still in development of what would be best here.
Sure.
But you would come to that. Now, when you come to those meetings, the attempt would be to have well-known people out in our convention, a speaker to be there in relationship to it. Say, if it was about preaching, to have a Jerry Vines or a Jim Shaddix or David Platt. And some of these people owe me because they were my students at the seminary.
Right.
But try to twist their arm, get them to come so they hear this speaker in that area. Then our professors would provide breakout times for work and then mentoring in between the meetings concerning whatever the competency is you're dealing with at that time. You know, Fred Luder and folks like that, try to get that. Right. And to have in conjunction with it some worship services at a night meeting for when these gatherings are happening for the seminar-type training. And we could have good music and preaching from the person that's coming and invite the churches of the area and to come in and hear them, you know. So it's sort of a all around. And you can do different levels of training. There can be continuing education training for people who already have degrees, but they would like to come to this, and their breakout would be at a level based upon what they've already learned in the past, right, and go a little bit higher, as it were.
Okay.
You could have certificate type approach where somebody only wants help in that one subject area.
Right.
They could get a certificate in preaching from that one event, from that one pass through the training. Or there could be a bachelor's degree for those that have high school. Mm-hmm. And then there would be the desire later on, as we are able to develop more, perhaps to do a master's degree in ministry. Using the Bachelor of Ministry title, it is a professional degree, mm-hmm, not a research degree, but a professional degree.
Right.
And then to follow that with a master's in ministry, which would be an MMin, I guess.
Yeah.
It's hard to say.
That's right.
But that would match up to that practical side as well and build off top of that.
All right, real quick, we've talked about the why come to Bruton Parker. We've talked about what Bruton Parker is going to do for us. Let's talk about what our churches can do for Bruton Parker.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, first and foremost, pray. Mm-hmm. And I've been saying this to everybody. Pray that God will send us the best workers. Pray that God will send us the best students. Pray that God will send us donors, because we need money. We've got to get out from under that umbrella. Then on top of that, many churches have work teams, of various sorts, and we have a lot of infrastructure needs. And if they would contact Randy Minton, who is our chief operations officer, there at Bruton Parker, you know, he can give them understanding of what type of needs that they could help us with. And, you know, there's a lot of other things. Of course, the greatest thing in the world would be to send us your students.
That's right.
We'd love to have them.
Great. All right. Well, if anybody wants to get in touch with Bruton Parker, they can contact, as you said, Randy Minton up there and get started on some mission opportunities. And,
yes,
and you guys, not just are you working on the academics, not just are you working on athletics, but you also have some brick and mortar stuff
that always needs
to be done. So
that's exactly
all right.
And they can feel free to contact me as well. It's T as in Tim, Searcy, Searcy, at BPC, BrutonParkerCollege.edu. And just send me an email, and I'll get back with you.
All right, Dr. Tim Searcy of Bruton Parker, thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
DBA On Demand.